It was not like those kind of wars. This was strictly jungle tactics. Your enemy was virtually invisible due to the tunnel structure in that country, because they've been at war for, gosh, eons. French lost, and they eventually packed up and went home. That was when it was Indochina, though. And I never did know they'd realize they'd changed it from Indochina to Vietnam. It just never meant much to me. It was always Vietnam. But yeah, you were very hyped, you were very pumped. And it was a part of the whole brainwashing scheme of things to hype you up, to pump you up for that.
Doesn't that bother you?
No, not really. It's just, you can get hyped up or pumped up over anything. Depending on what it is. So how, to what extent you get tacked up for it. Shoot, we were all going to fight communists.
Well, earlier I had asked you about the Red Scare and everything.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I asked you that then is I was wondering how much of that growing up through your early years, formative years, whatever, with such a fear of communists had to do with the negative feelings towards communism that you had.
Well, I don't know if I ever associated my minimal contact with communism, either through radio, hearing conversations on television or whatever, with my attitudes towards it after I was in the military. One being I was older and had a little broader knowledge of the universal situation. And your whole objective was to go do your part to help these people remain free and not be governed by a communist ruler or a communist government. And that was the whole purpose in it. You stop it there before it gets any closer to home. It was the same way with Castro and the missiles and Soviet Union back in the 60s. 2, 3, 4, whichever it was. You wanted to nip it in the bud, so to say, stop it before it got any closer.
Do you think communists are as scared of democracy as we seem to be of communism?
I don't know if they're scared of it or if they're just, let me rephrase that. Maybe they are scared of it, but I think it's from lack of knowledge of from a communist ruled environment. You are learned, you are taught what you, well, that's the same way here. You're taught what the government wants you to learn. I don't know if there's as much free speech and freedom of press and this and that as there is in the in a democracy type government.
But do you think our fear of communism, or even back then, is from ignorance, not understanding it?
I think ignorance breeds fear. And it applies in this case. Because if you're not aware of something, or if you don't know about something, it's just human nature to be scared of it. Or leery of it. To shy away from it. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you left Okinawa and went to Vietnam, how long were you there?
Almost 6 months. got off my plane in Da Nang, and I had to go over to a receiving area, and it was right by the airport. And at the time, that was the world's busiest airport. Sleep was just out of the question. I hooked up with this guy that was stationed there, and I was just there temporarily waiting orders and transportation to my unit. And he was stationed at the airbase there in Da Nang. And I never will forget. I don't really know what the attraction was, but we started talking that afternoon, and a little bit later he went and procured me a weapon, because I hadn't been assigned to a unit yet, so I hadn't been issued a weapon. And you had to have one to go around in that area. So he come back with a .45 and give it to me and tell me to put it on and come on and go with it. Well, I did. I had to watch his back while he stole some liquor. So my first night in Vietnam was spent sitting beside the airport or the airbase, listening to all those bombers taking off and fighter jets, drinking a bottle of scotch. And that was my indoctrination to Vietnam.
What things stand out to you about your, when you look back on about your experience there?
Smell of death. Because basically I had my job from 8 to 5 was to work with the lawyers in the military justice system. And part of that responsibility was inventorying personal effects, whether they be wounded coming back in off a medevac chopper or deceased. And that was part of my job, was inventorying personal effects. And I just really got tired of the smell of death.
Do you remember when you... I know that you were really wanting to go over there. Were you ready to come home when you came home? Or ready to leave Vietnam when you left Vietnam?
Yeah. I needed a break. I needed to get away from there for a while. I would have went back. Wouldn't have been no problem there. But apparently that wasn't in my future.
So when you left Vietnam, where'd you go? Did you come home for a little while? Or?
Yeah, come home for a little while and sent me right back to North Carolina.
Well, what was it like when you came home? I mean, as far as the whole anti-war climate and...
Well, I wasn't really aware that the anti-war and the anti-patriotism, for lack of a better word, I wasn't aware of all these people that were protesting or going to other countries to avoid. I didn't realize it was as widespread as it was. The Stars and Stripes was the American newspaper over there, and it told us about it, but it just didn't give the full picture. Now, when I got back, I saw protests and demonstrations and things like that, but I never really had anybody walk up to me and cuss me or spit on me or call me baby killers or anything like that. But I did see demonstrations at San Francisco, so you know, I got a first-hand view of it.
Well, looking back now, do you think that America learned anything from that war, conflict, or whatever you want to call it?
Sure.
What do you think?
You can compare it to Desert Storm. Because in Desert Storm, there was a job to be done. They did it. We weren't allowed to do our job the way it should have been done. Because it was too much politically oriented. It was more like a chess game, not a conflict.
Do you think there's anything maybe we should have gotten from the whole Vietnam experience that we didn't?
Well, after it was all over with, I didn't feel like we should have been there. Because them people didn't want us there. And that's where the political scene comes in. I don't see that we got anything out of it. Definitely lost a lot of people. A lot of which are still unaccounted for. But I don't feel that we gained anything from it. I mean, absolutely nothing.
Do you think that all the MIAs and POWs will ever be accounted for?
No.
Because of politics?
Ultimately, that's the reasoning behind it, because I feel like the records that were kept are now either destroyed or lost in some archive situation. I really don't feel like anybody that was in prison as a POW is alive. And I feel like maybe some of the people that were classified as missing in action could quite possibly be in residency, still alive, not wanting to come back. And then again, you had people, and I'm not even sure how they classified those people, that became ill with unknown diseases that they didn't really know how to treat. A lot of venereal diseases that were classified as that, where they weren't allowed to come back because there was no known cure as of yet.
But are those people unaccounted for? Do they just, like, you can't come back? And
that's political right there. And I don't know. They're probably on the rolls or a record book somewhere.
So this was our government that wasn't allowing these people to come back?
Yep.
So what do you think would motivate people, though, like the MIAs you were talking about that maybe just didn't want to come back? Just... Did they feel betrayed or by the country?
Well, I feel like now a lot of the MIAs, they could be dead in a bush situation, you know, shot down or killed in action and their body not recovered. That could be classified as a missing in action. Now, you can also have one that might have escaped and was taken in by sympathizers and consequently might be living a life over there, a very prosperous individual in their own poor state. But yet, they might be happy and thriving. And those people are the ones that are probably not wanting to come back home. Maybe they didn't have anything here in the beginning. No family. And they just got accepted. You know, this is hypothetical, but it's very possible.